Good morning, everyone. We are few in number, but it's quality, not quantity, that counts, isn't it? It's lovely to welcome you to worship. I was going to say on such a lovely sunny morning, but the sun seems to have gone. Apologies for keeping my outside coat on, but we have to have the door open for ventilation, and there's quite a chilly wind coming in there, so if you also need to put your outside coat back on, please feel free. Got a few intimations to share with you. The Advent days that Elizabeth Cleland is holding at Brayhead House, I haven't heard that they're fully booked, although they might be by now, but that's all the particulars there. They start this coming Saturday on four Saturdays. The next two posters are actually having to be changed because we're now in Tier 4. We'll not be able to use the church hall, but we're going to go ahead with having a collection for Light Up for Life and the Salvation Army gifts. There'll be a box in the church, either during this, on your way into the service or your way out, or between 12 and 1 on Sunday, the 6th of December. So that's 2 weeks from now, when you can put your donation for St Andrew's Hospice in its envelope. The packs are out on the fence. Just pop them in. Unfortunately, the lady who normally comes isn't able to come because she can't travel. And similarly for the Salvation Army gifts, if you're giving money, we'll have a box in the church. We're going to have to keep track of all these different boxes. Maybe just throw them all in one, but no, we will have, Margaret will be in charge, she'll have it all organised. But for the gifts themselves, if anyone's wishing to give a gift, we're hoping to have somebody with a car or a van, we've already got one offer, who will be parked just out at the front of the church. So as you're coming to church, don't bring your gift into the church building, because we're not allowed to do that, but if you can just put it into the car or van, whatever vehicle we've got ready for you out the front of the church. And as I say, if you wanted to give money, which the Salvation Army said would be very welcome, pop it in an envelope and we'll have a box in the church for that. And the church will stay open between 12 and 1 after the service. So please spread the word, because obviously we'd got all the posters done, all the information out, and then the rules changed again. I'm delighted to say that we've got all the Christmas cards printed. We decided as a Kirk session to go ahead, try and keep something normal. And there's a few wee extras coming with your Christmas cards, so look out for that. The elders and some volunteers will be delivering them. Obviously, some people feel they're not able to deliver this year. So if you're fit and able and would like to volunteer to deliver some of these cards, please contact Karen. Karen Nicol is kind of coordinating who's delivering to which streets. So if you haven't already been delegated and you would like to volunteer, do please contact Karen. Next week, we will be on Zoom. I'll be nice and cosy in my study instead of freezing here, but I'm not complaining much. If you need help trying to get on Zoom, please speak to either Margaret Hunter or myself. Today will be the last Sunday for a while that we're on Mark's Gospel, because I'm going to do something different for the four Sundays of Advent, which, can you believe, the Advent begins next week. Where has this year gone? We haven't had Easter yet, have we? So this Sunday, the reading leads us to work out who the real family of Jesus is. And it struck me that it was really appropriate that this should fall on this Sunday, because at this time of year, families are so important in the lead up to Christmas. With the lockdown, families are so important. There's so much pain and upset from folk not being able to see their families, not able to get together. And so family, to know that we are all part of Jesus' family, is a wonderful encouragement and reassurance for us all. We'll look a wee bit further at that later on. And there was a rather special occasion this week. On Thursday, Isa, who usually manages, thanks to Tommy, to join us on Zoom, but she's not been able to come to the church, she celebrated her 90th birthday. So do please take the occasion to wish Isa a very happy birthday. Shall we sing happy birthday even though she's not here, Audrey, do you think? Oh, we're not allowed to sing. Oh, please, Lord, help. Yeah, okay, we won't sing happy birthday, Isa, but we'll say happy birthday, Isa. Sorry. One day, all will be well, and all manner of things will be well. And all is well because we're here to worship God. God is love. And we are all his beloved children, all part of his family. We can only love one another because he first loved us. And his love is a perfect love which drives out all fear, every little bit of fear. So our opening psalm today is a psalm of giving grateful praise. And, you know, if you're ever feeling down, one of the best things that we can do is be grateful for what we've got and praise God and thank him for it. So that's what this psalm helps us to do this morning and our first hymn. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Amen.
Amen. And now we're not going to sing, but we're going to listen to a wonderful recording of the hymn, which can be found at number 65, Jubilate, Everybody. Jubilate Deo is Latin. And we don't often use Latin in the Church of Scotland, do we? But it simply means to be joyful or to shout with joy in the Lord, in God, Deo. But you may well be sitting there thinking, what have we got to be joyful about? We're in another lockdown. The weather's getting colder. There's so much that we can't do. Yet, you know, it was while he was in prison that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. And I think I've got a slide for this one if I remember to put it in. Yeah. This is what Paul wrote from prison. And surely lockdown is a little bit like being in prison, but not as bad. He wrote, I will say it again, rejoice. So let's try and do that. Let's focus on what we do have. Family, friends, warm houses, food in the cupboard, telephones and internet, our health, our freedom to come and worship God together, to be joyful in the Lord. We can serve God in all our ways. We can come into His presence anywhere, anytime. And we know that God is gracious and His mercy is everlasting. His love is deeper than the deepest ocean. We're not allowed to sing here in church when we're in a group, but at home we can. My daughter lives in Manchester, so I don't know when I'll be able to see her again, but we keep in contact over the internet. And to try and keep her spirits up, because she's not been well, she's joined an online choir. And she sent me a clip the other day of her singing. They're putting together Christmas carols, and I hope that I'll be able to get a link to this. And she's singing away. She's got a beautiful singing voice, far better than her mum. And she's got a pet rabbit. And if you could see the expression on that rabbit's face, it's going, what are you doing? So there are ways of keeping together. And you know, it's us. By showing that we are filled with joyful hope, that we have that source of overflowing love, because it's what the world needs just now. Let's come before God in prayer. Loving, living God, we come before you with joyful hearts, because we know that you are closer to us than our skin, that your listening is far better than our speaking, and that you are filled with joy whenever we make time to stop and speak to you and to bow before you in awe. For you are Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of the whole universe. You are the beginning and the end. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are good and faithful and merciful and forgiving, and your love knows no bounds. So, Lord, forgive us when we forget you, when we're so preoccupied with our own lives, with our aches and pains, our fears and anxieties, and our interior struggles. Lord, forgive us and fill us with joy once more. Lord, forgive us when we fail to treat others as you treat us, when we lose our temper, we're impatient or even rude, when we fail to love others just the way they are, preferring to try and sort them out. Lord, forgive us and fill us with joy and love once more. And Lord, forgive us when we're harsh with ourselves, beating ourselves up for things we said and did, or failed to do and say. When we fail to love ourselves just as we are, as you love us. Lord, forgive us and fill us with peace, joy, and love once more. And teach us how to pray. And as Jesus replied when his disciples asked him to do that, let's say quietly behind our masks together the Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'm now going to invite Bill to come forward and read from Mark's Gospel for us. He's going to read chapter 3 and verses 20 to 35.
Jesus is accused by his family and by the teachers of the law. Then Jesus entered the house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He's out of his mind." And the teachers of law, who came down from Jerusalem, said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons." So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly, I tell you, people can be forgiven for all their sins and every slander they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin." He said this because they were saying he was an impure spirit. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mothers and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle round him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother."
Thanks, Bill. Amen. And may God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. Our next hymn, number 624, "In Christ There Is No East or West." Audrey's going to play this for us, and I'm going to try and speak the words as she plays. They will be on the screen as well, so you don't need to listen to me if I lose the place. In Christ there is no east or west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. In Christ shall true hearts everywhere their high communion find. His service is the golden cord, close binding humankind. Come, brothers, sisters of the faith, whate'er your race may be, whoever does my Father's will is surely kin to me. In Christ now meet both East and West. In him meet South and North. All Christ-like souls are one in him throughout the whole wide earth. Thanks, Audrey. The real family of Jesus. And I see the sun's dazzling Mary. I hope you can cope with that. It does make that stained glass window look so beautiful, though, doesn't it? I love it when the sun shines through it. We began our service with joyful singing. And although we may not see it at first, this Bible passage gives us good reason to be joyful. You and I, and all who love Jesus and try to treat others with love and grace, the way Jesus demonstrated, we are the real family of Jesus. And I think we've got a picture of just a few of us. It's a few years ago, but some of our church family. The passage begins speaking about Jesus' relationship with the crowd who were making it impossible for Jesus and his disciples to even eat. This seemed to be a difficult, even negative relationship. And then it moves on to Jesus' relationships with his family. His blood relatives decided that they needed to sort him out, having made up their minds that he was out of his mind. I wonder if any of us have ever been on the receiving end of this, having well-meaning friends or family trying to sort us out, when actually they completely failed to understand us. Or perhaps we've been the ones trying to take charge of others. I've been guilty in the past of trying to help my daughter solve problems in her life, and then discovered that I had got it totally wrong. And she's always quite quick to tell me. The next layer of relationship is Jesus and the teachers of the law. Now, they can't deny that Jesus casts out demons. They can see that he has greater power than the demons in order to do that. But they completely misunderstand the source of this power. They accuse Jesus of being possessed by Satan. And there's a clever little word play by Mark here in the Greek, because Satan is also known as the accuser. So they're accusing Jesus of being possessed by the accuser. But this gives Jesus the perfect opportunity to reveal the most important relationship, the relationship between Jesus and evil. He uses parables to show that a kingdom, a house, and a strong man, if any of these are divided against themselves, they cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And then he speaks of trying to rob a house belonging to a big, strong man. And obviously, in order to do that, you would have to tie up that strong man first. So not only is Jesus explaining that it would be impossible for him or anyone to drive out demons by using demonic powers, But he goes on to explain that his power, Jesus' power, is far greater even than Satan. That the battle of good and evil is being won. So the unforgivable sin in that context, Jesus is addressing those teachers of the law and saying that if they believe that the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Jesus, is evil, then they can't be forgiven because nothing evil, nothing satanic can ever forgive. Only God's love can do that. So Mark leads us back out from the central relationship of Jesus' power over evil. Because remember, even his death didn't finish him off. It just released more of his love and power. He's accusing the teachers of the law of that unforgivable sin. He speaks to his family who've come to sort him out. And so to the people seated around him, the people who loved him and obeyed his rule of loving God and loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. He says, "Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." So deciding to follow Jesus makes us his family. Whenever we do something kind or loving, whenever we give our time and attention to someone in need, whenever we love without asking anything in return, we are obeying God's will, and that means we're part of Jesus' family. Serving Jesus, as that beautiful hymn said, is the golden cord that close binds humankind. Well, if that's not something to be joyful about, I don't know what is. Amen. Let's come before God once more in prayer. Gracious God, we welcome the great news that vaccines are getting closer. We give you thanks and praise for everyone involved in this great endeavor. We pray today for everyone in this Central Belt area, especially thinking of the mental health of many people as we enter a 3-week period of lockdown in level 4. And we pray that this lockdown will be effective in curbing the spread of the virus. And we further pray that there will not be a rise in domestic abuse and suicides as people struggle feeling they have nowhere to go. And we pray for business owners facing an uncertain future as they close down again. And we pray for teachers, especially those who were shielding and are now told to go off sick with the potential of being reduced to half pay or no pay. Lord, be with them all. And we thank you that we now look forward to Advent starting next Sunday with all the joy, hope, peace, and love which Advent brings. We ask that you will be with the dying and their loved ones, especially those keeping a bedside vigil, and perhaps more especially those who would love to but are not allowed to. We ask you to enfold all the bereaved in your loving embrace. And wherever people are ill, physically, mentally, spiritually, Please, Lord, touch them with your mighty healing hand to bring healing and wholeness into their lives. Loving and healing God, draw close to us all, your real family, in this pandemic crisis, and let us feel your healing, loving, and gracious presence. Amen. Our final hymn, I think, speaks about what we as family. Before the closing blessing, last Sunday on Zoom, I was encouraging everyone to learn how to say "peace be with you" in British Sign Language. So I thought we'd have a go at it this morning as well, if I can remember and get it right. I have to start. We're allowed to do this. It's not against the rules. Peace. So we start with our thumb and finger together and fingers out, and then just move them apart and say peace, and then be with you. Oh, you're doing better than the folk on Zoom did. We'll have to start a competition, will we? Try it again. Right. Peace, be with you. Lovely. So instead of just saying hi to folk on the street, you can always go, peace be with you. Even if they can't hear you because of the masks. And now as we go out into the world, let's remember that we are all part of God's family, that we are loved more than we can know. And now may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen. For those who may have forgotten on the way in, there's the opportunity to put your offering in a box on the way out. And Bill's ahead of me. Oh, yeah, if you can move the door stops. Thanks, Bill. Can you manage to do that? And then nobody else will need to move the... That's it. Thanks. Hi, Jeanette. Come on, Margaret. Peace be with you.